Jesus asked this question to the Pharisees when they came out to see John the Baptist. And we just saw that about 1,000 years before John the Baptist came, there was a prophecy given that a reed would come and be shaken by the wind. What are you here to see? What are you here to see this morning? Are you here to see me? Are you here to see God? What God are you expecting to see? What are you here to see this morning? Jesus asked it this way in Matthew 11:7. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, speaking of John the Baptist, he said, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind?" John the Baptist was a crazy looking man. If you read the description that they gave of him, people went out to hear this man preach about repentance from sin, and this man looked like he belonged in an asylum. He was crazy looking. He didn't wear regular clothes. He didn't have a regular diet. He was unkempt. But you know, yet with all of that, people saw past the man and they came to him and was baptized for him. The Bible says for remission of sin. And that was based on the promise to Christ, because without the shedding of blood, Christ's blood, there was no remission of sin. Even the blood of bulls and goats under the law only rolled back the sins. So when John baptized for remission of sin, he was talking about the promise that would be found in Christ. But what did these people come out to see? Even Jesus said, because the Pharisees came out and they saw this man and they thought, "Oh, good day, what is this?" And see, when you look in the Word of God and you read and you see that there's things that God is talking to you about, the personal letters that He wrote to you as the church, all these things that you're looking at, God is asking you a question. What did you open these pages to see? What did you come through these doors to see this morning? See, Matthew 27:27-31, it says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium," which I didn't even know what that was. I looked it up. It means the governor's hall. It was a hall of judgment. "And that reed that was shaken by the wind, that was speaking of John the Baptist, who preached the truth of God that brought people to a repentance." It says they gathered the whole garrison around him, speaking of Jesus, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And they had twisted a crown of thorns and they put it on his head. Is what I understand. If you want to, when you leave this morning, to your right you will see a flower pot, and supposedly that is the crown of thorns that was twisted around God's head. Take a big old handful of it and squeeze it. This was wrapped around his head. "And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and they gave him a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and they mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spit on him, and they took that reed out of his hand and they struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, put his clothes on him, and they led him away to be crucified. In the hall of judgment, they gave him a reed, and then they took that reed away and they struck him in the head with it." What do you think the governor expected to see in Jesus when he came before him? Remember, the question was, what did you expect to see when you went out into the wilderness? A reed that was swayed by the wind? What do you think the governor expected to see when Jesus stood before him? I know one thing, he certainly expected Jesus to grovel for his life, and he expected him to answer to the questions that was brought before him. "You say you're the King of the Jews. He brought all these charges. You say nothing? These people have brought these allegations against you and yet you say nothing?" This would have been the time for Jesus to stand up for himself. But he wasn't quiet. He didn't let people walk all over top of them, even though we see what they did to him. He stood in that face, that reed that was not swayed by the wind, and he says, "You have no authority over me other than that which was given by my Father that is in heaven." And he knew what that governor was going to do to him. He knew that he was sending him away to be crucified. And he stood there as that reed that was not swayed in the wind. That reed that they took away from his hand and they mocked as a scepter and they hit him with it. And he stood there and said, "You have no authority over me if it was not given by my Father in heaven." That is not what the governor expected. You walk through these doors this morning, what did you expect to see? Matthew 27:47-50. And some of those who stood there, when they heard that, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah," when Jesus was on the cross. And immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and they put it on a reed, and they offered it up to him to drink. And the rest said, "Let him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. When Jesus hung on that cross, what do you think the Roman soldiers expected someone to see? Someone to see who would rebuke all the claims that he had made. Someone that cried out for mercy. Someone that said, that "I didn't mean this. Let me down. I'm sorry that I said this." He was not a reed to be shaken by the wind. And he stood there. And he did God's will. And those men that looked upon him and mocked him. Look, we all want justice. And we all think that we deserve justice. We will get justice. God says that for His Son, justice was taken away. And He stood there. And those people that mocked Him and beat Him with that reed, and they stood there and they offered up that sour wine to His lips when He said, "I thirst." And He stood there. I mean, hung there on that tree. Knowing that He was right and that they were wrong. And He did God's will. When it was time for Him to die, He asked the Father to forgive them because they truly did not know what they were doing. How hard is it for us to know that we have given up what we thought was right for the sake of God? He asked forgiveness for those men. You don't think that was hard for Him? But He wasn't that reed that was going to be shaken by the wind. He asked that question, "What did you come out here to see?" What did those Roman soldiers expect to see? They did not see what they expected. And when Christ died, do you know one of those centurions said, "Truly, this man is Son of God." Because he stood firm in the Word of God. He stood firm in what God had asked him to do. He wasn't that reed that was shaken by the wind. And people saw God because of that. Revelation 11:1. "Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, 'Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there.'" You see, this reed that they mocked Him with, this reed that came to pronounce the way of the Lord, to declare the way of the Lord that John the Baptist was when he said, "Who did you come out in the wilderness to see?" This reed that they mocked Him with, this reed that they beat Him with, this reed that they offered up the sour wine with, this reed He holds in His hand to measure out that temple, to bring about judgment, to make sure there's room for the people of God and no more. With that reed, it'll turn into a rod of iron that He'll rule these nations. Hebrews 9:27-28. "And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for Him who will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation." What did you come in here to see today? Did you come to see a Jesus that loves everybody and accepts everything and wants everything, everybody to just live in harmony with their neighbors and live in harmony with the universe? Is that what you come in here to see today? That's not the risen Christ. Matter of fact, that's never been Jesus. When Jesus walked on this earth, He came in the midst of the sinners and He preached them God to show them the Father so that they would repent of their deeds. And you know they came in droves to Him. And when He came to the Pharisees, He came to the religious people of the day. They were smug and stuck their noses up there and thought that they were the only ones that knew God, that God was all about them. And He rebuked them to their face in the front of the people that was listening. Why? Because they taught people about God. And He stood straight and firm in the Word of God. And He rebuked those people. What Jesus did you come to see today? I tell you that if you came today to see Christ, I have only one to show you, and that is the risen Christ. Not the one that walked this earth, that was mocked by men. Not the one that was hung on a tree. not the one that was pushed around by this world, and that every possible thing that could be done to Him was done. That's not the Jesus that we look at anymore. Because in that death, He arose. And the risen Savior is coming back, and He is coming back for His people. He's coming back for the faithful ones, the ones that are not the reed that are shaken by the wind, the ones that are not going to be carried away by every wind of teaching, the ones that are not going to jump ship. He's coming back for those people. This is the risen Christ that we serve. Revelation 19 says, "And He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed Him on white horses. Now out of His mouth goes a sharp sword that He would strike the nations." That's the Word of God that's going to come out, that He spoke to people that stood there and listened, that you held in your very hands. What did you expect to see when you opened the Bible? Did you expect to see a God that was happy with you? Did you expect to see a God that thought that you were just doing such a great job and you have no need to make a change in your life? Is that the God that you see when you open that Bible? That's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve came and took all of those things, being beat with a crown of thorns, hung on a tree. This is the God that we serve, who came to save us. And through this Word and through the gathering here and through the life that we live, He came to save us. That's the Jesus that you should see when you come today. The risen Christ. Because He's not coming back again to die on a tree. He's not coming back again to give you another chance. This is your chance. He tells us what He's coming back. He's got armies in heaven. And He's going to come back with a sharp sword. And that Word of God is going to strike down the enemies. That's going to strike down the arguments. There's not going to be people that are going to stand before God and say, "But I thought you knew nothing because I showed you in my Word and you would not listen. You were the reed that was shaken by the wind and all you had to do was stand firm. I gave you my Word. I gave you my Holy Spirit. I gave you my strength. I gave you my life, and you took that and you did nothing with it." So out of His mouth comes the Word of God that you hold in your very hands, that you read, that you judge yourself. And with that Word, He's going to strike the nations. And He Himself will rule them with a rod of iron. And He Himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And on His robe and on His thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The risen Christ that you see today, that you're here to serve today, this Christ expects a repentance. This Christ is coming back for judgment. He came once to bring salvation to the world. He came not to judge the world, but to give us a chance. But when He comes back a second time, He's coming back for judgment. He's coming back to tread that winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God. This is what you should see when you come in here, an urgency that God means business. What more could He say? When I read the Bible and I was told that Jesus was love and the God of the Old Testament was a harsh God, a bloodthirsty God. And yet when I read that, I seen in Jeremiah, I seen in Ezekiel, I seen in these prophets where God was pleading with them over and over. And He said, "What more could I do? I told you not to do this. I was patient with you. I sent prophet after prophet. I told you not to do these things. And you disobeyed. What do you expect me to do? Do you not expect me to discipline you?" Jesus, when He came, He was that discipline. With that rod, with that reed that He had, that He was beat with that reed that He was mocked, He is our discipline. When I saw and started to read the New Testament, I thought, now I'm really going to see love. But what I saw was a stern Jesus. I saw a Jesus that had come where the parable was, that last of all He had sent His Son and that they would listen to Him. And you know what the hatefulness of the world did? The Bible says that they killed Him to take His inheritance. And they hated Him so much because He came and shared the Word of God that they hung Him on a tree. That Jesus is the one that we don't serve. Because He is risen now. We serve a risen Savior. Not the one that was disgraced and hung on that tree for all to see. We serve the risen Savior from that. There is a big difference. He came into this world to give us a chance. It's happening right now. There will be judgment that's coming. If you came in here to see a Jesus that's okay with your life, mine, yours, anyone's, that's not the Jesus that we look at. He wants to make a change. He wants to bring us closer to Him. He wants to make us more godly. He wants us to give up more of ourselves. And you think, well, for goodness sakes, what more could I do? Do you ever stop teaching your children? Do you ever stop showing them? Ever try to stop? Do they ever come to a place where they don't come to you for advice, where they don't seem to do the right thing, where they struggle and they don't know, and you spend time after time after time to show them, give them just a little bit to try to show them? God is always trying to mature us and bring us closer into the fullness that is Christ, that is His Son. I can prove to you today that you are not there. Are you willing to die today for the sake of me? And if your answer is, I don't know, or no, you're not there, because that's what Christ died for, was for the church. And He said that every one of us should be willing to lay down our life. We all have room to grow. Because the same question that I ask you, am I willing to die for you today? What's the answer? You say yes. And that's the easy part, if you were just to have to lay down your life, but stretch it out day after day after day after day, where you have nothing in your life but service to another. Are you ready for that? We have maturity to go. But the Christ that we're supposed to see, the Christ that we serve, is the risen Savior. And He has come today to give you a chance, to give you a chance at life. Because judgment is behind these armies, behind these white robes, and behind that sword when He comes back. There will not be another chance. Those people in Brussels, those people that woke up that morning, those people on 9/11 that woke up that morning, those people in San Bernardino that woke up, this is not around the world. This is stuff that's happening right here among us. You don't think Muslims know that this is Easter Sunday and that the churches are going to swell because it's Easter, and somebody could walk through that door right now and blow us all up? Are you ready? That's the question you have to ask yourself, because there is no comfort in tomorrow. There is only comfort in knowing that Christ is your Savior today. I fully expect to get on a plane Thursday afternoon and head towards Hawaii. My vacation. That day may not come. I fully expect to come back from that trip. That may not come. Are you ready today? That's the risen Savior's question. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? What did you come in this church building today to see? Someone that wants to save you. Someone that's offering you salvation. Someone that is your rock. The Bible gives us a chance. His apostles came on the day of Pentecost, and they preached how the nation of Israel, how Jesus had come, and that they had rejected Him, and that they had hung Him on a tree. And through the preaching, through the teaching, and the prophecy of Joel, and talking all of these things, when Peter stood before them, he said, "Men and brethren, know assuredly that this Jesus whom you've crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ." Do you know that based on mathematics about how many were there, 997 of those people said, "So what?" on that day. 3 out of every 1,000 were cut to the heart. And they said, "What shall we do?" And He told them what they should do. Repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. He gave them that chance. Why? Because when they went out to see John the Baptist, they did not see a reed that was shaken by the wind. They saw a faithful man teaching the Word of God. And there is no difference today by the apostles that we read and the faithful people that are sitting here that listen and the faithful people that try to teach to hear those words and turn your life to God while you still have a chance. If you don't believe any of that, none of it, what did you come in here to see today? Jesus raised from the dead for a reason. What is that reason? He came. He's going to come back to rescue us. He's going to come back to make the world right, to bring that judgment that He spared us when He walked the earth.